The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You have made this match impossible.
But I am leaving for India.
And it is not far enough. Do you think that there is a corner of this earth that you could travel to far away enough to free me from this torment? I am a gentleman. My father raised me to act with honor, but that honor is hanging by a thread that grows more precarious with every moment I spend in your presence. You are the bane of my existence. And the object of all my desires. Night and day, I dream of you. And what I... Do you even know all the ways a lady can be seduced? The things I could teach you.
Did not ask for this. To be plagued by these feelings. Hiding from my sister. Being driven to distraction every time you entered the room.
And you agree? It is insupportable.
Possible.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to Bridgerton on Netflix, so sit back, relax, and let's get ready to spill the tea. Hello, everyone. I am Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. Yes. Oh, yes. Give me all of that. Mm-hmm. Give me every ounce.
Oh my gosh.
Like when I watched that scene for the first time,
yep.
Shivers up my spine.
Made me think of how I feel about tacos.
I was hoping you were going to say that's how you feel about me. Instead, I get tacos.
I mean, you did bring me a burrito bowl, so it's kind of one and the same, right?
Man, that just ruined my day. Thank you so much for that, Mary. Appreciate
it. I love you so much. So we want to remind you, of course, to please hit that subscribe button to the podcast. You can find us on all sorts of social media by searching Mary and Blake. And also, we want to make sure that you're in our Facebook group. If you have binge Bridgerton to the upteenth time and you're looking for something new to watch, our friends over at the Mary and Blake Facebook group have loads of ideas for you. It is a wonderful group of like-minded individuals who just want to geek out and all the things. We also want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. If you are not yet a member there, for as little as $2 a month, you get to keep this podcast going. All right, let's get into the show.
Actually, before we get into the show, I wanted to remind you too that at jointhenerdclan.com, we're going to be doing our episode of our top five favorite things to do or watch during Droughtlander or while Bridgerton is filming. So if you like what Mary and I watch and you respect our opinions, that's another episode that will be coming at just jointhenerdclan.com too. So that's another reason why you don't want to miss that place.
Of course.
Oh. All right. You ready to get into this episode, my love?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. All right, this episode was entitled An Unthinkable Fate, Mary. An Unthinkable Fate. Mm-hmm. Directed by Tom Verica, who is a Shondaland, go-to person for acting, directing, writing. Like, just an all-around super talented guy. This is not the only episode of Bridgerton that he has directed. He's also directed Shock and Delight and also the episode Art of the Swoon. And he will be directing an upcoming episode of the Queen Charlotte spinoff as well. That's soon coming up. That's in development as we speak. The writer was Abby McDonald. Ivy McDonald served as a staff writer for Bridgerton last season. She did, although, write a couple of episodes, in particular in Affair of Honor and Oceans Apart. Though this is the first episode that she has written for this season. Well, Mary, as we are wont to do also, we do this little episode recap just for the benefit of all of us.
The benefit of the Bridgerton bingers.
Yes.
Who maybe the episodes all became like one big memory for you. So this, of course, as you said, is episode 5. In this episode, Queen Charlotte approves of Anthony's engagement to the diamond, and not only approves, but says that she wants to sponsor the wedding. She's so excited. So both families go and promenade, and Anthony becomes jealous because Kate goes on a boat ride with the guy that loves India. Eloise is a sneaky little sucker, and she goes and sees Theo, and little Penelope is jealous, not jealous, but just like hurt because, you know, Eloise is sneaking off and lying to her, so she's not too happy about that. Mm-hmm. The Sheffields have their dinner. It gets kind of crazy. The truth is out, as they say in Harry Potter. And
you're a wizard, Harry.
The kind of come up with a plan to utilize some fake rubies. So Portia is making some plans with Cousin Jack's faux ruby mines.
Yes, yes. Okay, so what do you got for your cups of tea rating? How many cups of tea are
goodness,
you giving this episode?
I'm 5 full cups. Like, okay. Full to the brim. Give me it all. You know, I love me some English breakfast, some Earl Grey. I'm more of an English breakfast person, I think. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I'm giving this one a 4.9.
Okay.
Really enjoyed this episode.
Agreed.
Quite a bit. Quite mm-hmm. a bit. And I know we talked a little bit about that scene that we played at the top of our episode, we talked about it just a, you know, very, very little bit in the beginning part, but
about my love for tacos.
But that scene is special, and it's special for a multitude of reasons. And
I burn for you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the GBGs, the goods, the bads, the greats for this episode.
Yes.
I will kick things off. My good Portia Featherington.
Really?
Oh my goodness gracious. I mean, that woman, she's crazy.
Schema.
You know, she's a schemer, but once again, she's going to fight for her children.
Yes.
And I am not here saying that I would do the same thing. I'm a Gryffindor through and through. Portia is quite the Slytherin.
Straight up Slytherin.
And well done. Top marks. Coming up with a plan. Cunning. And I love that she has the jeweler who loves cake, the cake loving jeweler. I love that she has him come check Jack's rubies without Jack even knowing.
Good point.
She's just like, yeah, let's see. Let's see if it could fool the jeweler, it could fool anybody. My bad is Danbury. Lady Danbury's kind of a downer, you know?
You know what, Mary?
What?
I kind of co-sign on this.
Like, what the heck? What the heck? I mean, yes. Is it tricky? Is Edwina now engaged to Anthony? And Danbury knows that Sharma Sharma loves or has feelings for Anthony. Yes. But like, why you gotta be so mean?
Well, I'm not sure if she's being mean so much as
cold,
she is...
realist.
She's being real. Like, she knows that there's an issue that's gonna happen here.
I just feel bad because there's no one who knows the truth who's kind and warm and loving to Sharma Sharma, who once again doesn't really like, she doesn't have her birth mother's past, and she has her mother, her adoptive mother, mm-hmm. Mary, but like they don't seem close mm-hmm. at all. Mary doesn't even know, Mary Sheffield doesn't even know about this whole plan going on, and I just feel terribly. That's my bad. I just feel really bad for Sharma Sharma. She doesn't really seem to have much in life. Thank God she has a dog. That's an emotional support pet, right? I mean, honestly.
Yes.
If she didn't have a dog in this show, I would be nervous for her.
She's got some issues coming down the road.
And when she pets that pooch, I'm like, you get those feelings out.
Get them all out.
Get those oxytocin in you, girlfriend. Oh. And then my great was Anthony standing up for the Sharmas and Sheffields? And
not all heroes wear capes. Okay, what I'll say. Not all heroes wear capes.
Yes.
Yep.
Just guys being dudes, man. I love that. I love when that happened. All right, for me, I have a tie. For my good.
Okay.
And the first one is the shot of Anthony holding his hand for Sharma Sharma.
Love.
Like holding it out there. And the way that it just sweeps up and it captures, you know, this air of Anthony and what that all means, especially after his reactions to Sharma Sharma and the India loving guy being in the boat together. Mm-hmm. It just felt right the way that was captured. I don't know. It was just a camera movement that made it for me. But then there's also Mr. Brooks's obsession with cake and food. That to me is one of those special little things that you put in a television series or in a book that, again, it gives you an insight into character. Mm-hmm. Something that tells you about the person that is not what they look like, what they do, or their names. Right, you know that this guy loves cake.
Oh my God, he is here for it. It is cake season.
All he cares about is getting his cake on. You know what? That is a real definable treat.
His payment is cake.
My bad. Is it awful of me to say that I just don't care about Theo Sharp and Eloise at this moment?
I mean, is it awful for me to say that I just don't care about Benedict's art experience? You know what? You know what? They're B team Bridgertons. We don't need to care about them.
Well, right now they're B team.
Exactly. Yeah, the B team.
You're basic.
Okay. Goodbye.
I said that to Mary. I need to get that sound drop from that show. What the heck is the name of that show?
The Good Place.
The Good Place. Thank you. I need to get that sound drop, and I'm going to do that for next episode.
They're basic. They're basic Bridgertons at this point.
They both
come out with some great one-liners.
Yes.
Love them. Okay, but you're basic. I don't need to care about your.
Well, listen.
Plot.
Benedict is a sneaky best character on this show. I know. I'm just telling. It's my show. It's our show.
And I would have been the Eloise in this show.
And we're the ones talking. And I'm saying right now that Benedict is the sneaky best character on this show. However, you're right. B-team Bridgertons at this moment.
No joke, I would have been Eloise. The conversation I had to have with my mom the other day.
Hey, Maron. I can only imagine.
I hope you weren't too confident when you went to that interview.
Would you have said that to me, Mom, if I was a man? That I hope you weren't too confident?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Eloise right here.
So, yeah, I just don't care. I don't care about Theo Sharp and Eloise at the moment.
That's fine. I mean, he's cute. I'm in on Theo.
Certainly a cute guy. Not going to lie. You know,
may not know how to use punctuation. You know, thank God Eloise brought her pencil.
But
that's okay. What's your great?
My great is the opening. Well, really, it's the opening and the scene that I played at the top of our episode. But give me all of the opening when Anthony and Sharma Sharma are like in the same room. He's walking past her, and the pinkies like almost kind of touch, but they don't.
Yeah.
And it just represents everything that they're going through
pinky
at the moment.
Sex.
But
pinky
also foreplay. At the same time, it is a great callback and a great reference to the first season as well. And what transpired between Daphne and Simon at the same time. Just really, really great stuff. It's a great way to reference its own iconography.
Yeah.
Reference its own mythology.
Ooh.
And to put it into perspective,
I'm here for that.
There was this connection shared between Daphne and Simon at that moment when they touch pinkies and they're looking at the art. Mary, just don't, you know, you don't have to get that excited. You don't have to hit the microphone.
I'm sorry.
But it also highlights the difference that's shared between Sharma Sharma and Anthony and how that plays out and what that means for both of those characters and how there is this connection, but they just can't seem to facilitate it. Awesome, 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 awesome stuff. I really liked that.
Agreed.
And but we'll get into the scene that we played at the top of our episode in a little bit. Marvin, are you ready for the music
that was used? You know I'm all about that.
All right,
that.
Here we go. So, Mary, this is a cover. You wouldn't know by this point yet. And you know what? I'll get to the part.
Let's get to the good stuff.
This is a cover of You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette. And it was played at the end of the episode when Sharma Sharma and Anthony have decided that their route going forward, that Anthony is going to get married to Edwina. Mm-hmm. And oh, here it is.
Most of my Alanis Morissette memories are middle school, sitting on a bus.
Hold on.
Don't sing.
No, Blake, don't sing. That's Mary and Blake commandment. Yes.
It's not fair.
So, cover by Chris Bowers, who is the composer for the score of Bridgerton. So that is that. It is You Oughta Know.
Can you pull up the lyrics?
Sure. Yes,
the
I can.
OG Alanis lyrics.
Yes. Hold on. Let me. You're gonna have to vamp for me. Hold on.
So yeah, I equate Alanis to my, you know, puberty years of middle school and all of us belting these angsty lyrics out together on a bus, not even knowing what they mean.
I know.
You know, and occasionally the, because this was back, you know, 90s, occasionally the DJ would forget to, like, use the blipped version.
So oh, yeah.
There wouldn't be swears or anything in any of the words, and we'd go so excited. I don't think, there's no cursing in this one, but man, Alanis, she got me when I was 13, and she got me now.
So, I kind of feel funny saying it because I'm not a girl. So, maybe I should
pass
this off to you.
Okay. We're thinking Sharma Sharma.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best of you both. An older version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. Because the love that you gave, that we made, wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No, and every time you speak her name, does she know you told me you'll hold me until you died, but you're still alive. And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away.
Just picture 13-year-old Mary.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
To deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You
ought to know.
So it goes back and forth and on and on and on and on. And it talks about Mr. Duplicity and the whole thing. Are you thinking of me when you F her? You know, the whole thing. So, very apropos, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Very, you know what? Do yourself a favor. Do it on your own time. Go look at the lyrics.
Or just listen. Just pull up Alanis. You know, have a moment with her.
Whoa. I'm pulling up the real Alanis.
No, I'm saying, I mean, you can't.
Oh,
but
no,
I'm
no,
saying
no,
if
no.
People are feeling it, if they're like, oh man, I haven't listened to that in so long.
Yeah, you
want to
get
whatever?
Like your early like 13-year-old self out, man. Like, just go do it. And so, Mary, we've been having an ongoing conversation about the music for this show, obviously, and who the music is meant for into this show. We've ranged from Madonna to now Alanis Morissette.
Yep.
We've gone this whole route here. Do you still feel like this is meant for us?
I still think it's the elder millennial Gen X's. I still do.
I think I kind of agree with you on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on this one. I mean, they've gone back and forth. They've had Rihanna and the whole thing.
But that's still millennial.
I mean, yeah, that's mid-millennial, I feel like.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
We got her.
Well, Alanis is definitely old millennial.
Yes.
I would say Gen X.
Yes.
Bordering millennial.
Elder millennial.
Yeah.
So I said booby trap.
No, but like if there is like a line between Gen X and millennial, I think I'm on the...
That's called Xennial.
Good point. That's what we are. So I'll take that. All right, Mary. Obviously, this episode, I think, circles around the scene that we played.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to talk about it and why I loved it so much. But I want to hear your thoughts first because I'm fascinated by the things that you pick up upon that I don't.
Really?
And I'm conversely as fascinated about the things that I pick up that you don't.
Oh.
So
that's sweet.
Is this the episode, the scene of the episode that you feel like yes, this is the thing.
Oh yeah,
or,
100%. Okay. I don't know, like, at which, I don't know at which depth you can really talk about it though, because I feel like Anthony and Edwina are speaking their truth to one another.
Not Edwina. I mean, Sharma Sharma.
Yeah, you know. Oops. Sharma Sharma.
You ought to know, Mary.
I would like to get into the complications of the Sheffields and that promise.
Oh, okay.
That, to me, is the multi-layered thing. Yes, in my opinion, is a lot of what just happened in I Burn For You equivalent, potentially.
Yeah. Okay, what's the line that you're going to take from this? Like, because you know, okay, when you say I Burn For You, like, you know exactly when that was, who was saying it.
I don't know.
Like, is there a line...
that
you take from this conversation that is similar in effect to I Burn For You? Because I'll tell you my thought.
Yeah, give it to me.
Well, I have two thoughts. One, it's like Anthony was giving himself positive affirmations when he's like, I'm a gentleman.
Oh,
I'm a gentleman.
Loved that.
I'm a gentleman. And he just kept trying to say it so he didn't do the wrong thing.
Okay, I know which mine is.
Okay, what is
it? You are the bane of my existence mm-hmm. and the object of all of my desires.
Ah, good one, Mary. I quite like that. And the other one I like too is, and that's not nearly far enough. Or something like.
Yes.
It's not as catchy, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the intent is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is just as impactful, though not as catchy or as punchy as mm-hmm. I Burn For You.
Yeah, no, I agreed.
And what I really like about this scene is that you're getting the magnetism between the two characters. And that is a very, I think, hard balance to strike when you're writing characters, when mm-hmm. you're trying to create story. You're trying to get characters that pull themselves to each other and that no matter what they do, they keep coming together. But at the same time, they're bad. At the same time, they're pushing each other apart. They're the thing that makes them make it. They are the affirmation, if you will, mm-hmm. of what shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like the most obvious one, right, is Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying that Sharma Sharma and Anthony are Romeo and Juliet, but I'm saying that the magnetic character is, and the magnetic relationship between two characters is a fascinating relationship. And I think this exemplifies that to a T. Would you agree?
Oh, my, 100%. I mean, you get to that last scene of Edwina and Anthony, you know, when they were riding their horses and they're speaking during that early morning ride.
Sharma, Sharma, not Edwina.
Goodness.
get it. You ought to know, Mary.
Oh, you ought to know. You know what I think I'm channeling?
What?
I think I'm channeling Anthony. How confused he must be. Like, ooh, whose name am I saying? As long as I say Sharma, I'm at least right somehow.
Good point.
You know, as he's saying, like, okay, I'm going to call it off. Like, thank goodness for this issue. And, you know, Sharma Sharma's saying, pleading, no, I'm not going to be the reason that my good-hearted, wonderful sister is not going to have a life of happiness. And he's there saying, but you've been against this the whole time. Like, granted, you were against it because you didn't like me in the beginning, mm-hmm. and now you kind of love me. So, like, all of that conflict. And I love that they get to address that in that conversation. They get to address the multi-layers of the star-crossed lover situation they got going on.
Yeah, we've talked, I think, a lot about what the two characters bring out of each other. Mm-hmm. That we've obviously referenced the magnetism between the two and how they push and pull against each other. But also, I think this is the first time, like, even though Kate has, you know, somewhat been a less protected version of herself mm-hmm. when around Anthony, and Anthony, you know, vice versa, right? But I still think that this is the first time we actually get to see a truly vulnerable Kate when she recognizes, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in effect, she admits that she's wrong to Anthony. What do you is that part of the magnetism that do you think that these two share?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that and everything else that they've got going on. Just they're no matter what, they're the eldest in these families, and they're just trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the right thing is the opposite of what they want. It's so beautifully difficult to see them going through that when you the actors do such a brilliant job showing their burning desire mm-hmm. for each other, even just in their eyes. You know, this episode had a lot of great moments of silence, you know, as they're just staring at each other, particularly in this scene, pleading with each other, lusting for one another, mm-hmm. loving one another, hating one another, all with their eyes.
How do you feel about this forbidden fruit aspect where like they're still putting off, like they're growing, they're inching ever so slowly to making a poor decision.
Oh my God. You know, it's just so different from Bridgerton season one. Just got to put it out there. Like we saw Anthony's bum thrust.
Butt thrust
like every episode. And then,
we saw Simon butt thrusts.
We had swan sex. We had rain sex. We had
library
Beauty
sex.
And the Beast library sex. We had it all. And now we've got eye sex. And it's so complicated and it's so difficult and I am here for it.
Really? So you're liking the...
Yes,
the,
I have been.
The tease of it
yes.
all.
Yes. You know, as I said, maybe it was episode one where I said the letter that, you know, Miss Whistledown, Lady Whistledown writes about, you know, switching things up a little bit and having to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I've been interpreting that as Mary. Chill out a little, mm-hmm. horn dog. Okay. Let's get into some relationship building.
Sure.
And I love the complexity of this because, you know, last year was just so one-sided where Simon was so complicated. And really, it was like his own fault, right? Like he could just got in his own head. No. Okay. Yes. Daddy issues to the max.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. But like what I'm saying is that it just affected him. It was just very selfish of him.
Fair.
Whereas now we have Anthony and Sharma Sharma who are thinking about everyone besides themselves. And I just love that it's both of them are having this complexity.
But I guess would the argument be on the other side too that in doing so the idea is that they're thinking of others, but really they're just protecting themselves. Right? Because
no, but I don't. Listen, you may not see things this way because you're the baby of the family. Okay?
Sure. Okay.
But I'm saying these elder siblings, they're not just protecting themselves.
No, I'm saying, but yes, I agree with you in the sense that, yes, they're trying to do their duties.
Yeah.
But are they masking their...
Of course they're masking their feelings.
They're masking their feeling in the duty of trying to do the right thing for their family, right? So is it as altruistic as you're saying, or is it more of
I think it's altruistic. I mean, I'm team older sibling, so.
Fair enough. I hate to keep referencing it, but.
Do you?
No, I don't actually, because I just love this scene. But that, but the scene that we played is just such a remarkable scene, and it, I think it works on many levels. And Mary, I know you said that, like, well, what is there to really talk about? And I think there's actually quite a bit to talk about in that scene.
Okay.
How in and of itself it is a story that you're still getting
excited.
I'm so excited. It is a story that is complex just in one scene alone. And I think it is a perfect example of how you can pace and direct mm-hmm. and write a scene, but also use sound and light to enhance that scene in ways that you would not be able to get in a book or in a short story or even on the page. I'm sure you could probably write it in the script how you want certain things to sound or look. Like I know you can, and it's a practice that's often used, but like when we played the scene, I stayed in silence at the end there for a little bit. And the reason why I did that is because you could hear Anthony's heartbeat
mm-hmm.
as he is, you know, caressing Sharma Sharma's hair, right? Yes. And they're getting close to each other. And as he pulls away, when he recognizes, ooh, I can't do this, you hear like this, you know, and the heartbeat stops. And that is, again, you don't recognize it in the moment.
I didn't recognize it, period, Blake, because this is why you're so good. You find these little nuggets.
But even though you don't recognize it, your brain does. And when you hear this and when you go back and listen to it, you're going to be like, oh my God. And this is another way through audio that you can express a certain tension. And not only can you do that in the audio, but you can do that through the way that things are shot and the way that the scene is framed. There is a natural, beautiful tension in the way that the camera is held. It's a handheld camera.
How can you tell?
Because it's shaking.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure that, you know, the shake was intentional, right?
And I mean, maybe they just had too much coffee.
all of the caffeine just running through their veins. But it's a handheld camera, and the way that it is shot, it is not focused on just the characters' faces. Mm-hmm. There are moments where the characters are moving and part of their faces are obscured because the camera is still catching up to them.
Ooh.
And I think that's just such a remarkable way to grasp how, obviously, again, I use this word tense, but like the unease of the scene between these two characters.
Mm-hmm.
There is a famous example of the camera catching up to a character, actually, in Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
It's famous, Blake.
Yes, it is famous.
Okay.
It is. I mean, relatively. I mean, okay. in movie making nerd life.
In Blake's mind, yes.
No, it's not just my mind.
Okay.
It's just a bunch of dorks who are like, wow, look at that. It's when Kylo Ren is speaking to Darth Vader, the helmet, hashtag spoilers. And he's looking up and down, and there's a moment when Kylo Ren is looking down at the floor, and then he looks up, but the camera doesn't move with him, and then eventually it catches up with his face. It's just a way to express that unease of the situation.
Mm.
And then also how the camera moves along with that. There are moments when Anthony is completely shrouded by
Shadow?
Sharma Sharma.
Oh, okay.
And the camera moves back and forth from shoulder to shoulder on Sharma Sharma, looking at Anthony. And it is, and specifically when he says, oh, and do you think that is far enough for you could go? Like, it's just, again, it's just a natural way to express this tension. And it's a natural way to express what these two characters are going through. Again, your brain doesn't, you don't recognize it, but your brain does. It's off-putting the way that it's been shot.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful way. And you add in the light and the fiery reds and the shots of the candles between the two and then focusing on Anthony's hand as he's caressing Kate's hair, not his face, not her face. But like just his hand. It's just really special stuff that if you pay attention, you see it. If you're not paying attention, your brain sees it and it tells you this is really cool.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just loved that scene.
So now that we have spent our time with the Sharmas, with Anthony, dealing with the Sheffields, unpacking that he and now Lady Bridgerton now know some of the situation that's been going on.
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen.
Like, oh, my God.
You knew that the whole world was going to come crashing down for Edwina
and
what that all meant for her.
And yet this makes Edwina, like, love him even more.
Yeah, because he stands up for her, right?
Yes, he stands up for the whole family. He stands up for her mother.
All I want is him!
Yes!
Oh, poor thing.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Poor, poor thing. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. In particular, I'm excited to see how it plays out with Lady Bridgerton, because she's usually so nice, but like, you mess with me, you mess with my reputation. Oh
yeah, like, what does this mean for Edwina moving forward, and what does this mean for Sharma Sharma?
Well, like, in this same episode, you know, one of the Bridgerton kids was like, oh, when Anthony gets married, does that mean that Edwina is going to be the lady of the house? And Lady Bridgerton's like, yup, she's going to be in charge of you all from here on out. And so imagine the fury she must have in that carriage ride going home, being like, what the heck are we going to do? Because right. I'm not going to let this gold digger come on up and be in charge of me and my kids.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I mean, would she feel that about Edwina? No, but she might feel that about Sharma Sharma. So then, like, how does that transition even happen? Because you know it's going to happen. It's just a question of when and how. And you know, we're putting somewhat of a timer on all of this, and I think that's a really effective tool too.
Yeah, because the queen is now putting on this wedding.
Right. So how does the queen take all of this? Like, oh, this is going to be a world of hurt for the Bridgertons and the Sharmas coming up pretty soon. I mean, it's no kind of hurt, you know, the way that if, you know, Mr. Brooks doesn't have his cake, that I mean, if he doesn't have his cake, forget about it.
I mean, the world doesn't need to know. The world doesn't need to know this is their family drama. You know, now if Penelope got word of this, a.k.a. Whistledown.
Would she write about that? That's the question.
Well, we just got to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Penelope is not happy with Eloise right now. Eloise just...
She's lying to her?
Yes. Like, she even asks her, where were you yesterday, when she knows that Eloise told the family she was hanging out with Penelope, and then she lies to Penelope. What the heck, Eloise?
Yeah.
But mind you, Penelope's been lying to Eloise for, you know, a season.
Yeah, so. Good point. So, I mean, neither are innocent in any of this.
No, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I do not like it. Featheringtons, however, as I said, Portia Featherington got my good. Got my good.
All right. So here's an early scribbling prediction. This ain't going to work out.
What?
There's 0.0 chance this works out.
What works out?
The whole
the
rubies? Yeah, no way.
Of course it's not going to. That's why I'm here for it. Front row seat. Give me it as a good. I'm going to elevate it so I can just be sitting here eating my popcorn.
Just no way this works out.
No, Slytherin.
And here's the thing that happens too. It may work out, like, you know, to begin with, but again, kind of like Han Solo says, women always find out. Always.
You know it.
And someone is going to find out these rubies, they're fake. And here's what's going to be ugly, is what this will do, not to, Prudence's, not to Prudence's.
Isn't it Portia?
No, Portia is the mother.
Cheese?
Oh, Prudence, yeah, Portia, okay. Prudence is the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Not to her marriage, because she's getting married to the guy no matter what. What's going to happen to Penelope when she wants to get married? And does this taint the Featherington name even more? And will that prevent Penelope from getting married to anybody? Now, we know as fans that Penelope is going to eventually end up getting married to Colin. But how does that happen? You know, and like what does that mean for the Bridgerton family too, right? Because the Bridgertons have kind of like up-leveled themselves here a little bit.
But not really, okay? Because we got some family drama with the Sharma Shamas. We got Eloise sneaking off, walking around in shady places. Mm-hmm. We've got Benedict being with naked people all the time. He doesn't care. If you've got a party and there's nude people, I'm here for it.
Benedict
is
there.
You got art classes with new people, I'm here for it. You just want to go streaking on the quad? Benedict's probably going to be there for it.
Mary's been there, done that.
Yeah. It's okay.
It happens. I didn't streak on the quad.
That sucks to be you, because now you're like too old where it'd be indecent exposure, yeah. And you'd get in trouble.
Yeah. They'd look at me and be like, bro,
yeah.
You're going to jail.
When you're 20 or you're like
it's
running
expected
across
at
a
that
college
point.
Campus. Yeah. You get to do that.
You know, another scene that I quite liked too was the ring scene. And I liked the ring scene because it just, like, Mr. Brooks is.
I mean, you're just here for all the cake scenes, Blake. Let's
cake,
be
the
real.
Cake scene.
We know how much you love the cake guy.
I'm in on him. But I do love the fact that when when Sharma Sharma puts on the ring. It's a beautiful ring and it fits perfectly. And I'm sure that it would fit perfectly on Edwina. However, the fact that we see it on Sharma Sharma first, it does fit just so. It just feels like that is the universe saying this ring is made for you.
Duh.
You know, like, and I like that subtext. And it's not even really subtext.
It's meant for romantics at heart like you, Blake, to be like, "Well, yes. Look, even the ring fits."
Here is something that I predict that will happen too. The ring will not fit Edwina.
Oh, well, that's why the sizing guy's there.
I know, but I'm saying it won't fit Edwina.
Oh, well, that stinks.
And when it doesn't fit her, it's just another way, it's another way that the universe is saying the ring is not meant for her.
And like, just how beautiful is that? It was his mom's from his dad and their love story. Oh, I just can't.
So that is that, Marvin. You got anything else that you want to talk about the unthinkable fate, the one that could be had between Anthony and Sharma Sharma, the pining and longing for each other.
I'm here for all
the rest
of their
lives.
I'm just here. I'm here for it.
Will you get sick of the ISEC?
No, I won't.
How? It has been teased for so long. They're going to have to pay it off, right? Like, do they?
I know they're going to have sex. This is Anthony, but like, you know, he exfoliates and lotions and oils that tush.
Oh, yeah.
All season long. Because he's like, people, I have standards.
He's the male version of Wendy Peppercorn.
Yes. Lotioning and oiling.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's
I know that we're going to get a payoff.
Yeah.
There. I don't know what, but this is also Anthony. This is like kinky Anthony, okay? So when we do get the payoff, we're going to probably have some nipple biting. We're going to have all sorts of stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know? I'm ready.
I'm here for the nipple biting.
Yep.
I'm here for the bum biting.
Okay. Goodbye, swans. I want some close-up.
We're going to have some 50 Shades of Grey stuff.
Yes, but like Bridgerton style. Maybe there'll be a feather.
There's absolutely going to be a feather. Of course there is.
Yeah.
Lastly, Mary Sharma's parents, the Sheffields, are literally awful people.
Yeah.
And the dad is the ex-husband in Ted Lasso.
Oh, perfect. He just gets to play awful people all the time.
Just all the time. Just a bad dude.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about in this episode, my love?
That is it.
I think we're good. We even have some scribbling predictions that were thrown in there as well. So I think we can close this out.
Thank you all so incredibly much for tuning in to this episode of Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. We are so happy to connect with you online, either on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. Whether you're leaving reviews on your podcast app of choice, particularly Apple Podcasts, know that it means a lot. We're real people. It's literally like me and Blake. We're like totally normal Rhode Islanders who geek out about the same stuff that you do. So never fear about sending us a message. But yeah, thank you so much for now, ladies and gents. My name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Now go brew some tea.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.